in your Bibles, in your notes. We're going to start in Matthew 24, and then we're going to jump back to Daniel chapter 9. Now, it's interesting when Jesus was asked at the Olivet Discourse, and we're going to talk about the cross tonight when the Lord was cut off, as well as when the Lord comes back. But in Matthew 24, there at the Olivet Discourse, it's Passion Week. We know the Lord has entered into Jerusalem. We know that the disciples have come to the Lord and asked him about what will be the signs of the end of the age and of his coming. And it's very interesting as the Lord began to tell them the condition on the earth at the end of the age. And we've looked at that many times. Then he moves to, in verse 15, really addressing Israel in the end of the age. And this is so key in understanding prophecy, especially end times prophecy, understanding the church's role in that and Israel's role in that and so forth. And the Lord said, you know, there, if you don't understand the book of Daniel and what was prophesied concerning Israel, you're not going to understand what I'm talking about, especially concerning, again, Israel and the great tribulation, Israel at the end of the age. And really from this, we get the understanding that the tribulation at the end of the age, that last 7 years period, listen, it doesn't revolve around the church, it revolves around Israel. And we'll read him saying this here in a second. And this is so important because so many people, when it comes to end times prophecy, they don't even take Israel into account. They'll jump into the New Testament, they'll start reading things. They can't differentiate between when the Lord's talking about saints in the context of the church or saints in the context of Israel. And then they end up coming to conclusions outside of the Old Testament, which are erroneous. Many even saying that God's done with Israel. It's interesting. Jesus is coming back to Jerusalem. So how are you coming up with that? And all sorts of ideas. I had someone recently come to me and you don't know this person. They're not here with us. They don't come here. They were very aggressive and very, I'll just say, rude. Say, hey, I'm a pre-wrath rapture person. I go, okay. And I go, well, I definitely lean pre-trib. I believe the tribulation revolves predominantly around Israel. Well, I've studied these things for a long time. And then we began to talk. They had no clue of the book of Daniel. They had no understanding of Jacob's trouble that happens in the great tribulation. We need to understand things according to the full context of the Bible. And so we really need to understand Israel's role at the end of the age. Have you noticed, guys, a lot of things are happening in Israel right now? Have you noticed there's a cup of trembling? Have you noticed the Jews have been brought back there and they're being brought there and all the world's attention is upon Israel? The Bible talks about that. Also, listen, we've gone over this many times, but I think it's worthy to go over and over again to get a clearer understanding of these things, to get these things deeper in our heart, clearer in our heads. And we'll also see as we look at this, and we're going to go through this quickly here. You're like, oh, we got a lot of pages. Aren't we going to pray? Well, we're going to get to that. A lot of these verses later on in our little devotion here, I just threw them in there for you guys to look at. For I'll refer to them, and you can look at them later. But we're going to see here, again, we'll see Jesus referring to Daniel and him laying the precedent. You have to understand Daniel to understand these end times things. And then when we go to Daniel and these prophecies given concerning Israel, we're going to see, and again, we talked about this years back, 2-3 years ago in our study in Daniel, and we've talked about it many other times as well, that the exact date is given, it was prophesied, when Jesus would be cut off by Israel. And actually, it's literally right before this sermon that he's giving here when he would go lament over Jerusalem in that Passion Week and says, I long to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks under his wings, but you are not worthy. And he was cut off from Israel. Then just literally a couple days later, he was crucified for our sins. Guys, that's prophesied in Scripture. Any honest Jew, if they believe in the Old Testament, has to admit the Messiah has come. Or they don't believe the prophet Daniel or the prophets in general. And so it's quite exciting when you understand that the Bible gave a timeline and Jesus fulfilled that timeline in his coming. and him being cut off and going to the cross for our sins. In fact, literally it says that he would be cut off, but not for himself. Who would be cut off for? He would be cut off for us. And we're at that time of the year when we celebrate that. We're at that time of the year when we rejoice. And I know we do that all the time, but maybe I should say the world, you know, it takes note more. And again, it's more in conversation, even in a secular world, where we talk about Jesus going to the cross for our sins and then, praise God, resurrecting from the grave 3 days later. And if he hadn't done that, then we're foolish out here tonight. And Paul said, if he didn't resurrect, we should eat, drink, and be merry. So that's a little setup here. Notice Matthew 24. And again, the Lord's been asked, what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? He says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, and he's gone through signs, and now he's moving to Israel. He's moving to talking about Judah, the fig trees, talking about the Jews here. Before, he's talking about general things you're going to see really leading up to the great tribulation. This is an event that happens during the tribulation. He says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, and then notice what it says here. Whoever reads, let him understand. You got to understand Daniel, Jesus is saying, to understand what I'm talking about here. You got to understand Old Testament prophecy to understand what Jesus is prophesying in the New Testament. These things go hand in hand. He says, and let those who are in Judea flee to the mountain. So he's addressing the Jews. And the Jews had to be regathered for these things to unfold. And been to Israel many times. They're there, just in case you know. If you're like, are these news reports true? Are the Jews really there? They're there. Many of you can bear witness to that tonight as well. It says, let him who's in the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Let whom is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. And in Israel to this day, on the Sabbath, things shut down. He's talking about Israel at the end of the age. Then there will be a great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time. And this refers to even, we'll give you the verses here in a bit, Jacob's trouble at the end of the age, the second half of the tribulation, when the Antichrist goes to try to destroy all of the Jews. He says, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were short, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And the context there is Israel. Israel is God's chosen people. That's the context of this. Now, the Lord speaks of understanding Daniel the prophet when he prophesied about the abomination of desolation. I'm not going to read verse 20 through 23. It's there in your notes. We know that Daniel's in a place, as he often was, really travailing over the Lord, waiting on the Lord for interpretation of dream. Sometimes the Lord would just put on his heart to, you know what, go and make intercession. And he's actually making intercession for his sins and the sins of the nation. And the Lord sends Gabriel, the angel, to come speak this prophecy to Daniel. Interesting, I'm in my devotions, I'm in Luke, and I read about Gabriel today going to Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, and then going to Mary as well, Jesus' earthly mother. And I thought, well, you know, I got a double dose of Gabriel here tonight and, you know, today in my studies. And so he gives this prophecy to Daniel that Jesus is talking about concerning the end of the age, where he says, you got to understand this to understand these things that are going to unfold. And again, in this prophecy, we see prophecy about Jesus' first coming. And that's what we're working towards. And then we'll talk about his second coming and what we should be about when he comes back and comes back for his church, which, guys, can be at any time. And I believe this, you know, moves into what we're doing as a church this weekend down in Sunken Gardens, because, spoiler alert, he says, go make disciples and get the gospel out there. Now, notice verse 24 of Daniel 9. He says, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. Now, there's something in the Bible or in Bible study called the rule of first mention of how to define terms and so forth. In a context, if you don't get that specifically said in that context, then you go to the rule of first mention. What was that referring to when it was first mentioned? And the first time we read about a week in the scripture, it's not referring to 7 days, but it's referring to 7 years. So what he's saying here is 70 weeks are determined for your people in your holy city, or 70 periods of 7 years, which is 490 years. Notice in Genesis 29, we know that Jacob had worked 7 years for his uncle Laban to marry his daughter Rachel, and then he double crosses him and he ends up marrying Leah instead. That's a whole nother thing for a whole nother time. You're like, what in the world? And so he goes and says, hey, what are you doing here? I was going to marry Rachel and you double crossed me and I married Leah. And it's a whole thing. You're like, how could that happen? Well, it can happen, and it happened. And so Laban says, well, you know, the older one has to be married first. That's our custom. But I'll give you the younger one if you fulfill her week. And then notice what it says there in Genesis 29, 27, fulfill her week and we will give you this one also for the service, which you will serve with me still another 7 years. So we know that, again, this is referring to 490 years. And then in the context, you'll see it as well, that as the first part of this, or the first 483 years or 69 weeks have been fulfilled to the T. Again, it absolutely brings even more of an establishment that he's talking about, 70 weeks of 7 years each. And notice as well what he says here, and this is huge. This goes back to talking about Israel and what's the tribulation about and revolving around Israel. 70 weeks are determined for your people and your holy city. He's talking to Daniel here. Who's Daniel's people? Is Daniel's people the church? No, the church, it hasn't been birthed. It's far from being birthed. It's like 483 to 84 years out. He's talking about the Jews. In fact, when Gabriel came, Daniel's praying for Israel. Daniel's praying for the Jews. Daniel has an understanding. Jeremiah prophet, we're soon going to go back to Israel because they're in exile right now because of their sin. So he's saying 490 years have been determined for your people and the holy city, your holy city, which, newsflash, that's not New York or Los Angeles or Paris. That's Jerusalem. Israel is the only place called holy in all of the Bible on earth. Now, laying this out a little bit before we go into the next verse. Again, 490 years. We'll see him distinguish now 7 years or 7 weeks, and then what is it, 62 weeks, which is 490 years, and then there's a last 7 years that's still to come. And the 483 years have already unfolded. Now, if you're like, I'm confused, hopefully we'll get you back here on track here. Just throwing this out. So we're going to see, he's going to say a decree is going to be issued to rebuild Jerusalem, a clock's going to start, and then he's going to talk about a stopping. And then it's starting again sometime in the future, which is right before us in our timeline now. One thing I really want to emphasize with this, though, is with that first 183 years, you don't read about the church. And in the last 7 years, you don't read about the church as well when it goes into great detail in the book of Revelation. And I'm throwing that out there because, again, there's a lot of people that don't understand end times prophecy because they don't understand the Old Testament. They don't understand that God's promises are yes and amen. That when God made a covenant with Abraham, an everlasting covenant, even though Israel would shrink back on their behalf, God is faithful on his part. And that's something we can rejoice in our covenant tonight. Romans 11:25 says, I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. That blindness has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Because we're going to see here when they cut off Jesus, when they said, we don't want Jesus. Right after that, the church age began, which is predominantly revolved around Gentiles. But the time for the Gentiles is about to be fulfilled. Many believe that the rapture of the church is going to come when a last individual accepts Jesus to be their Lord. God's going to take his church, and then God's going to deal with Israel directly again, and he's gathered her back and is gathering her back to do that. The Bible prophesies this, but that last 7 years to bring her to full faith in Jesus Christ. And so we're in the New Testament reading this. Verse 26, so all Israel will be saved. As is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion. Who's that? It's Jesus Christ. And some people say, oh, those Jews are, you know, in awe time and ignorance. They're too foul. They're too horrible to be saved. Well, look it. They're going to be saved the same way you've been saved, the way I've been saved. The deliverer will come out of Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Is Jesus your Lord tonight? You've had ungodliness turned away from you through what? The deliverer who's come out of Zion. His name is Jesus Christ. And Jews and Gentiles are saved the same way through faith in him. Notice he says, this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. God's going to take away the sins of the Jews. And listen, their greatest sin, really, you could argue the thing that, because Jesus died for the sins of the world, the thing that's keeping them in sin is they don't believe in Jesus. But the time's coming when they will. He says, concerning the gospel, they're enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. Yet people stand up and say, well, that blessing was revocable. God's done with Israel. They don't understand the Bible. And it baffles me how there's even men held up in high esteem that peddle this stuff. They don't get the Bible. This is actually very simple. This is basic math here. And it's something to rejoice in. Because, again, Paul talks in these chapters in Romans, as God's been faithful to Israel, he's going to be faithful to you. We can look and just marvel at God's faithfulness, even in the day we're living in and God regathering Israel. Guys, we're living in biblical prophecy times, last days times. So he says here, to get back on track, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish their transgressions, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring an everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. I won't spend a lot of time on this, but we know Jesus has made an end to our sins. We know that soon he'll make an end to all sin. We know that absolutely he is the reconciliation for our iniquity. And we know soon all Israel will believe and be reconciled from their iniquity back to God. We know that Jesus is going to bring in an everlasting righteousness. Guys, we have a glorious future. To seal up the vision of prophecy, he's going to fulfill all prophecy. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And to anoint the most holy. And again, this speaks of Christ being anointed over all of the earth in a 1,000-year reign, and then literally over a new heaven and a new earth. Now notice 26, and this goes back to this clock we were talking about. 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince. So remember, they're looking for the Messiah to come. Ever since man sinned in the garden, the promise was given that the Savior would come. They're looking for him. And so a timeline is being given right now. Know therefore and understand. And so interesting, Daniel's saying the same thing. Jesus said, you got to understand this. You got to know this. A lot of people don't want to understand. They don't want to know. They're lazy Bible students. You got to know and get this. And then Jesus said, you got to know and get this. That from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, I'll pause right there. At this point with Daniel, Jerusalem's devastated. Again, Nebuchadnezzar taking them into captivity. It's barren because of their disobedience to God. And it's a prophecy that Jerusalem's going to be rebuilt. And someone's going to give a decree that they could go rebuild Jerusalem. And he's saying, from the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, which came, we'll talk about that in a second, until Messiah the Prince, this is Jesus Christ. So from the time that that decree is issued, hey, go rebuild Jerusalem, to the time of the Messiah, he says there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So altogether, that's 69 weeks or 483 years. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. Has anyone read the book of Nehemiah? We read about a wall being rebuilt, right? This is all before that. It's all before that. And after the 62 weeks, here's the thing. Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. It's prophecy. The Messiah is going to come, and Messiah is going to be cut off at the end of that 483 years. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And what happened when the Lord was cut off? He prophesied about the temple Not one brick would be left on top of the other. And we know the people of Antichrist came in, because there's always been Antichrist. And what did they do? They destroyed the city. They destroyed the sanctuary. There's not a temple on Temple Mount to this day. And the end of it shall be with a flood until the end of war of desolations are determined. We'll come back to that in a second. So again, Daniel charges us to know this and understand this. So does Jesus. We know, again, they're still in captivity. The temple's destroyed. But in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 9, we see King Xerxes on, and we know, we absolutely know the date of this. It was March 14th, 445 BC. He gave the decree for the temple to be rebuilt. And the beautiful thing, it was exactly 70 years from the time they went into captivity, as Jeremiah prophesied to be in captivity 70 years. Perfect timeline that the decree was issued to rebuild the temple. So you could say there's a prophetic clock of 490 years. As soon as he gave that decree that you can read about in the Bible, this clock started. This clock started. It says for the first 7 weeks or 49 years that the city we rebuilt in troubled times. We read about that in Nehemiah. Again, there was no wall around Jerusalem. It was a time of trouble. Sanballat came in, a type of Satan, and stirred things up. But eventually they got the wall up. And then it says after that, there's 62 more weeks. Again, altogether 483 years from Messiah being cut off. So we know Messiah would come towards the end of that time. And then eventually Messiah would be cut off, as he was the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Messiah was cut off, that prophetic clock stopped. So just think about a clock right here of, you know, from here to here, it's four. We'll go from here to here, it's 400. I'm getting old. My arm can't bend as far. From here to here, it's 490 years. The decree was issued. And Nehemiah, rebuild the city, rebuild Jerusalem. The clock started. 49 years went by in troubled times. They got the wall up. Like that clock. You know, the end's here. Somewhere in here, Jesus is born, as prophesied as well. He lives 33 and a half years. And then right before he would be crucified, when Israel reject him, that clock would stop, as prophesied. There's 7 years left in the clock start, but that clock's going to start up very soon again. One thing I really want to point out with this, though, again, well, let me get ahead of myself a bit. The prophecy of this, again, is based on the Babylonian calendar. I know for some of you guys, it's like, oh boy, all this stuff. This is why we go over this stuff. You get a little bit more, you get a little bit more. They have a 360-day calendar that you would use the lunar calendar. That's why Passover switches around, because of their calendar. They don't use our calendar. We have a 365 and quarter-day calendar. They had a 360-day calendar. Again, March 14th, 445 BC, that clock began. The issue was given to rebuild Jerusalem. April 6, 32 AD, Jesus rode in Jerusalem on that day, and that's the day he wept over Israel rejecting him. We read about it, Matthew 23:37. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those that are sent to her. How I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Notice, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So saying, you're cut off, you're cutting me off, but the day's coming when you'll say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We read about it in Luke 19 as well, him weeping over the city. Verse 41, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace. He says, I'm here to make for your peace, and you didn't get it. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, enclose you, and on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon the other, because you did not know the time of your visitation, even though Daniel prophesied it. And we know they would be surrounded soon after then. And in the end times, they're going to be surrounded again. There's a lot of people that want to surround Israel. You know, these people that are pro-Palestinian, and we pray for the Palestinians, we pray for their salvation. It's not that we're anti them, but we're biblically, we're called to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and that land's theirs. But what do they say? From the river to the sea. And they're talking about getting completely rid of the Jews. Drive them into the sea. There's going to be a surrounding of Israel. So the Lord was cut off on that day. To the day, 483 years later. He's weeping over them rejecting him, over them cutting him off. We don't want you. This is the point where they're plotting to crucify him. But notice what it says there in Daniel. He was cut off, but not for himself. Who was he cut off for? Why did he go to the cross? For us. And this is prophesied in Scripture. This is 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him to knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. As prophesied. Guys, it was prophesied in the Scripture that the Messiah would come and he would be cut off, and he was to that day. Now, it says the people of the prince would go in and destroy the city and the sanctuary, that it'd be followed up with a flood or a washing away or a dispersion of the Jews. And even though they're back in the land, they're still coming back to the land. But the time's coming when that 70th seven will begin again. And again, we'll see in a second, it starts with a covenant with Israel and her enemies. That clock's going to start. And it's very interesting. I won't spend a lot of time on this. We don't see the church on the earth during those 483 years. We look back, the church wasn't there. The church was birthed right after. And if you look at the book of Revelation, you read about the church. They're in chapters 2 and 3. In fact, in chapter 1:19, he gives an outline, right? The things you've seen, the things which are, the things that will take place after this. He writes these letters to the church. Chapter 4, he says, after these things I looked, I heard a trumpet. You see the church in heaven. You don't read about the church. You read about tribulation saints that have far different rewards and roles in glory. You don't see tribulation saints on thrones. You see the church on thrones. You don't see tribulation saints judging the world and angels. You see the church doing that at the end of Revelation. And then we read about us being counted worthy to escape these things will come. And him saying, I'm going to keep you from this tribulation. We'll close this out here. 27, he says, this is the Antichrist. He shall confirm a covenant with the many for 1 week. So that clock stopped, but the time's coming when this one's going to come. The Lord said, will come in his own name that Israel will receive. When that covenant's made or built on, and something, it might be the Trump, you know what, covenants that were made there that maybe they'll be built on. Interesting. It's looking like he's going to be elected again. We'll see what happens. But when those things are confirmed, that clock's going to start again. And remember, the world's going to say, peace, peace, all is peace. Then what? Sudden destruction. And you start seeing those seals broken in heaven by the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here, but in the middle of that week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice. Because there's going to be a temple rebuilt in Jerusalem. And I know right now they're on the cusp. They need the red heifer so that the priests can wash themselves to bring sacrifice. I think that it's in April they have, and I know this is a whole other thing. Some of you guys are familiar with this. According to Numbers, they have to have a red heifer. There's only 11 that they had in history. But they have to have a perfect red heifer to sacrifice, to take the ashes for the priest to wash their hands in so that they can go and bring sacrifice into the temple. Excuse me, that 11 number's off. I'm confused that with something else. They say they have 11 priests right now that can do that. There hasn't been a lot of those heifers in the history, though. It might not even be 11 because the ashes would last. They say in April, if this heifer that was bred in the United States, if it gets to April, it's old enough biblically to sacrifice. It's supposed to be sacrificed on the Mount of Olives in a place where they could look directly into the Holy of Holies. It was there. They know exactly where that is. Probably directly opposite of the Eastern Gate, which actually would put the new temple not where the Dome of the Rock is. For you guys that been there and understand these things, don't get overwhelmed. If you're like, oh, what's he talking about? Or just follow along here because we go back to this stuff. But listen, they have that land, they have that heifer, and I believe they're saying in April, if no white hairs spring up, they're going to sacrifice that heifer up there. And many in Israel are pushing for that temple to be rebuilt. and they're looking for the Messiah. We're ripe for these things to unfold. And this guy's going to come in. They're going to think he's the Messiah. They're going to make a covenant with them, peace and safety. Again, the Lord said he's going to come in his own name and you're going to receive him. This covenant's going to be made. But in the middle of that time, Jesus talked about this in Matthew 24. He's going to bring something called the abomination of desolation. We read in 2 Thessalonians in verse 4, he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So he's going to go in there and declare he's God. He's going to bring a sacrifice in that temple that's abominable to the Jews. It's going to make them wake up and say, this guy is not our Savior. He's not our Messiah. And then remember going back to Matthew 24, he says, when you see this and understand the book of Daniel, and the Jews, even though they don't fully get Daniel, they understand a little bit. If they fully understand, they call on Jesus to be Messiah, but that day's coming soon. He says, when you see this happen, run for the hills. Run probably to the rock city Petra in Jordan that we've talked about. Because what do we read? He brings an abominable sacrifice that brings desolation to Israel. Guys, the tribulation is about Israel, not about the church. He goes to try to destroy him. We read in Revelation 13 that 42 months are given to him, or 3.5 years. We know from Zechariah 13, he kills 2/3 of the Jews. 1/3 survive through the fire. And then interesting, it says there in Zechariah 13, they will call on my name and I'll answer them. I'll say, this is my people. And each one will say, this is the Lord my God. Didn't Jesus say you're going to be in this place of despair until you call on my name? Jesus doesn't lie. Jesus didn't throw that out there. Oh, and you're going to call on my name. But until that time, you're going to be in a place, you know, of great peril and, you know, persecution. And the Jews have been. He says there in Jeremiah 34, verse 4, now these are the words of the Lord. The Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. Just if you're confused, the answer to that's no. So why do we see every man with his hand on his loins like a woman in labor and all faces turn pale? He says like a woman, they're not actually in labor, but it's like they are. Alas, for that day is great, so none is like it, and it shall be the time of Jacob's trouble. But notice, but he shall be saved out of it. Be saved out of it. And we read here, all this ends. He talks about this desolation. We see how this ends. He says here, where are we at? He talks about in verse 27, he'll confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of that week, he'll bring the end of the sacrifice and an offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate. Again, the abomination of desolation, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate, which is a fancy way of saying until Jesus comes back and wraps up shop. It doesn't end well for that Antichrist. We read again in Zechariah, the Lord comes back and fights the nations that are going to surround Jerusalem. And sadly, all the nations of the earth will be gathered against her. And we read about this beast going directly to the lake of fire. He ain't even be at the white throne judgment. He goes, you know, remember Monopoly, go directly to jail. He goes directly to the lake of fire. So we look at this prophecy and it's so exciting because we see Jesus is already fulfilled. That prophecy of 483 years of the Messiah coming and being cut off, but not for himself, for us. This is incredible prophecy, prophecy confirmed. And now we see Israel being gathered together again, as the Bible said. And we see that we're on the cusp of these things. They could start to unfold at any time. We see more than ever we should be looking for the coming of the Lord. In fact, that's what I just want to close on, and then we'll pray. What do we do in the meantime as we look at these things? There's amongst other things. Jesus said in Matthew 25, 13, watch therefore, you know neither the day or hour in which the Son of Man is coming. He's talking about coming for the church. Because as far as his second coming, there's a prophetic clock for that, just as there was for the Lord's first coming and him being cut off. There was more than one prophetic clock. You're like, how do those wise men know? They're prophetic clocks. We read in Luke 19, 13, talking about the end times, we're told to do business till the Lord comes, or occupy till I come. We're to be engaged in the culture representing the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about taking communion. We proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And then Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Notice the Lord holding up his word, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And again, Sunday, we're about this, and our aim is to be about this all the time, because making disciples is Bible study, things we do, but it starts with people getting saved. And so people are like, hey, well, yes, go out there every year. It might rain, and it's a lot of effort, a lot of finances, a lot of work. It'd be a lot easier just to stay here. We're heeding God's command. We need to get the gospel out there. That's why we have tracts and talk about witnessing and so forth. And hopefully this has stirred your heart, encouraged you, knowing that Jesus, to the day, fulfilled that prophecy. And just as he fulfilled that, these prophecies are going to be fulfilled as well. So let's pray. We got about 12 minutes or so. And, you know, just encourage you, maybe, you know, half a minute or so. I know we're like kind of going bam right into it here. Like sometimes people need to get warmed up in prayer or whatever. You just want to give God thanks tonight. Maybe you invited someone, you just want to lift them up to the Lord. And then if you guys don't mind, we'll take 5 minutes extra and close with a last worship song. Does that sound all right? So Heavenly Father, we bless and praise you. We thank you, Jesus, for your prophetic word. We thank you, Lord, for your first coming, the prophecies fulfilled. And Lord, we thank you that you're coming soon. And we want to be found a people about your business, watching, looking, getting the gospel out. Lord, bless this Saturday or this Sunday. And Lord, bless our prayers here tonight. Lord, direct us right now in prayer and you know, just lead us and let us close well here tonight in worship. If the Lord's tugging on your heart to pray, just encourage you to stand up, pray, and we'll go from person to person as he leads. And then just the top of the hour, close in worship.
They need to hear the word preached in power and truth and the Holy Spirit there, Lord. And I know that will happen because of the faithfulness of this church. And I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just be prepared for Sunday, Lord, and I just pray for all the cards that got passed out in our neighborhood, and just I know the different ones that have been faithful to pass them out, Lord, and just pray for those people just on the edge, not sure if they should come, Lord. I pray that you would just prompt them and clear the path and just help them to get up and just get out there just to hear the gospel preached.
Where are two or maybe people gather, the Bible say you are there. We thank you for the success of the program. Thank you for your transportation. Thank you for all the Lord show that will come because there shall be salvation. Lord, we pray for Pastor Steve as he opens his mouth on that day. Lord, fill it up with your power in the name of Jesus. Let every Lord show that comes, let them be safe in the name of Jesus. We declare our gardens shall be blessed in the name of Jesus. As we declare concerning the weather, Lord, let that will be done. Come and intervene. Let there be sources of everything in the name of Jesus. It is settled and it is well in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name.
your son, Jesus the Christ. We just want to just praise your holy name and thank you for your gift on that cross, Lord. None of us deserved it, but you did it anyway. We thank you and praise you. We ask your blessings upon every invitation that was passed out, Lord. Those that are holding in their hands undecided, Lord, we pray that they will come regardless of the weather, Lord God, and hear your words spoken through our pastor, Steve. Thank you, God, for giving him the unction and the love for you that he would speak the truth without apology, Lord God. Thank you, God, for him. Thank you for the word that will be shared there. We pray for the children that will go into the children's ministry and each and every teacher and worker that's caring for them, Father God. We just pray for your hedge of protection around these children and their little hearts and minds, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.
Help us to rejoice in what you've done for us, the blessings you've given us, the word that you've given us that truly blesses us, that gives us the truth, that helps build us in your love, and all that you've done for us. We ask that you would help us grow in wisdom, grow in truth as we study your word and we go forth, that we might be able to preach your gospel to others, that you may be able to give them the truth that you have given us, and that they might abound in you. Lord, bless this time, bless the coming Sunday, Easter, and give us strength to carry your word well. Thank you, Lord.
Do us on the cross. Lord, thank you for saving our souls, each one of us in this room. And I just thank you so much for all the invitations and all the hard work that has gone into the preparations for Resurrection Sunday. And I just ask for you to please bless each one of those invitations that has a soul holding it. And I just pray you move in those souls, Lord, to truly attend and receive, help them have a hunger and a thirst for your righteousness and receive the word of God with joy and repentance and salvation, Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, just move in each one of those hearts and souls that is coming out to just know who you are by you moving in Pastor Steve to rightly divide the word of God. Thank you for his hard work and all the teachers and those in ministry, Lord, and bless all the details, Lord, that will be going into this day and all the setup and all the cleanup, Lord. I just, please help us to just serve you well and let your worthy name just be glorified and magnified through the worship team and all the choir. Just help us to glorify you and let your will be done, Lord Jesus, above all else. In Jesus' worthy name, we pray and praise you. Amen.
I just want to thank God for everything. You know, there's people out there perishing. Let's tell them the truth. You know what? I just pray, Lord, send your Holy Spirit to stir their hearts to receive truth, Father God. Break up that fallow ground to receive seed, Lord. Listen, don't ever think they don't want to hear it. Look them in the eye. There's a lot of people that do want to hear. Maybe there's a lot that don't, but I can tell you right now, there's folks out there that want to hear the truth. The Bible says you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. You know what? So I do want to lift up Resurrection Sunday, Father God. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, Lord, your word doesn't come back void. You know what? You know, listen, if you don't know how to share the gospel, tell them John 3:16. His word doesn't come back void. Lord, and I pray over our pastors. I lift up Pastor Steve for giving the message out on Sunday, Lord. You overwhelm him with your Holy Spirit. Overwhelm him with grace, Lord. Your Holy Spirit go out over that park and over this nation and stir hearts that day. that their lives will be changed. I thank you for what you've done in my life and what you're doing. You're a good God, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Reading your Bible in public, and so I just pray that you would help us to be just a grateful and thankful people, and just to really put into perspective and keep it just in front of us, really how blessed we are to be able to go down there and do that. So thank you, Lord. I pray for good weather, and I pray for just the day that you would just bless it and put a hedge of protection around it, and pray for the kids and every single person that'll be there, Lord. I pray that they would just have hearts to hear the truth, and I pray that you would just draw them to yourself, Lord. Thank you. I pray you'd bless this Sunday.
Why don't we stand up and worship the Lord?
There's a peace that outlasts darkness, hope that's in the blood. There's future grace that's mine today, that Jesus Christ has won. So I can face tomorrow, for tomorrow's in your hands. All I need a battle you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. Don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. I'm fighting a battle. Spirit is my help. You'll fix my eyes on Jesus Christ. I'll say that it is well. Oh, I know that it is well.
Let's all sing, I'm fighting a battle.
I'm fighting a battle. You've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. Don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. I'm fighting a battle you've already won.
I know how the story ends.
Story ends. We will be with you again. You're my Savior, my defense. story ends. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. Don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done.
God bless you guys. Pray you have a wonderful night in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're welcome to fellowship and stick around and hang out. And then remember the schedule for things for the coming up weekend. God bless you.